Welcome to this podcast from Christchurch Blackpool. For more information, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.
Last night, 2019, we are in Acts. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 12, I'm going to pray and then we will read this wonderful story. So Lord Jesus, I pray, Jesus, that you would... God, that you would come. God, that you would revitalize us again. God, you would energize us. God, where some of us may feel fatigued. God, where we're tired. Lord God, where we're tired in our bodies, where we're tired in mind, where we're tired in spirit, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would refresh us again. You would blow over us again. Give us fresh confidence. Give us fresh desire. Give us fresh excitement about what you are doing, Lord Jesus. I pray, God, that as we read this story about what you do because the church prays, God, I pray that you would excite us to be a church that earnestly seeks you. Amen. Right, so Acts chapter 12. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read a few verses at a time. I want to go through the whole story, but I'm going to read a few verses at a time and then kind of describe what is going on afterwards. So Acts chapter 12. So, it was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this met the approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So, this is 2,000 years ago. They don't have Saturday night telly. They don't have Netflix. They don't have Christmas films. Okay? And this is the time of the Passover. This is the equivalent, really, of our Christmas season. Different time of year, but this is kind of the big holiday time for them. And for entertainment, rather than switching on the telly, they like a good beheading. Okay, so King Herod, he rounds up some of the Christians. And James, who's one of the big leaders in the church, he puts him to death. And this gets big on the ratings. People like this. This scores highly. So he plans to do a sequel, which is the death of Peter, in a few days' time. And so Peter is there in this cell waiting to be put to death. And this is really interesting. Like when we started this series, looking at chapter 8 of Acts to chapter 12 today, with Miriam pointing out the fact that the church seems to have this pattern of persecution and growth. Constantly persecution and growth. And we end here in chapter 12 with the same thing of persecution, that it's an ongoing thing in the church. And so what we have is, like I said, James has been killed, Peter's been put to death. But what do the church do? We read in the next line. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church earnestly were praying to God for him. What do you do when things go right? What's your first response when you get something, when something goes for you? Whether it's you really want to get home and you hit that green light every single time, or whether it's something much bigger, you pass that exam or that thing you've finally been waiting for happens for you. What's your first response? What's your first response? Say, yeah, exactly. I wasn't expecting that, but brilliant. that's you're jumping ahead. That's where I'm going. It is. It's your first response. Well, let's go with that as we've gone there. Well, it's your first response to pray, to thank Jesus for what he's given you, from the smallest thing to the littlest thing. How about for those things that don't go right? When you feel like you've been defeated, when you feel like things aren't going your way, when you get every red light, you know, when everything seems to be going wrong for you, what do you do? Do you come to God? You see, this is what the church could have done, isn't it? They could have come to God, which they did, or they could have, which so many of us sometimes do, don't we? We get defeated, we get depressed, we think, well, what's the point? And when things go right, we completely forget sometimes there even is a God. What do you do? What do you do? Do you pray? Do you come to God in all seasons? And sometimes what we can face is this question that I've heard, and I hate it, but I'm going to say it because people say it. Is this the reason sometimes that we don't come to God, especially when things are wrong? The reason sometimes we don't go to God is because we have this question in our head which goes like this. God, does prayer work? Does it work? And the reason why I hate that question is because it kind of reduces prayer down to, you know, I was watching Aladdin with Elsie Grace yesterday. And it kind of reduces prayer down to rubbing a genie bottle and waiting for God to answer our wishes. It does prayer work? What we mean is, like, when we say, God, please, can you do this? He does it. And maybe he doesn't do it because sometimes we're not saying please enough, or we're not saying the right type of words, or we're not rubbing the right beads, or whatever. You know, it's that kind of thing that we're not rubbing the lamp properly. And it kind of reduces prayer down to God being a genie who answers our wishes rather than him being God who wants a personal relationship with us. You see, prayer is first mentioned, even though it's not talked about in words, it's first mentioned in the Bible right at the beginning. And it's where we have Adam, where he walks in the garden with God, talking with God, sharing with him everything. I can imagine he's sharing everything about his day, how things are going, what about these different types of plants, different types of animals, what struggles he's having with, you know, how he's getting on with Eve at the time, the sort of things. He's just sharing everything with God. And that's what prayer is meant to be. That's just coming to God and talking to him, telling him what we're liking, what we're enjoying, what we're struggling with. But I understand when people say, does prayer work? I understand what they mean. Because what we mean is there any, does God hear me when I pray? Does it change anything when I pray? When I pray, nothing ever really seems to happen. I feel like I'm talking to the ceiling. I feel like I'm just talking to the air. There seems to be no point whatsoever. Will God ever do what I ask him to do? And the answer is yes. Yes. Yes, prayer does work. Yes, because there's always a consequence to your prayers. There's always a consequence to your prayers. Things always change when we pray. But, and this is the thing we don't like, not always how we want them to. Things always change when we pray, but not always how we want them to. See, if you look back in the Old Testament, some of the major kind of stories in the Old Testament, you've got the Israelite army as they're going through the desert, come up against an enemy, and they enter into a fight with them. And as they're fighting, they're losing. But Moses prays. And as Moses prays for the army, as Moses prays for their victory, the battle turns. And they start to win. We've got Hannah, who is barren, can't have any children. And then she prays, and God opens her womb, and she's able to have children. We have Elijah, who during the years of no rain, he stays with a widow, and her son dies. And he prays to God that the son will be brought back to life. And he's brought back to life. You know, we even have examples in the Bible where it seems like God changes his mind. We have a time in the Bible where God comes to Moses and says, basically, I can't stand this people anymore, these Israelites anymore. I'm going to wipe them all out, Moses, and start again with you. And Moses cries out to God, and he says, no, God, for your glory, for your fame, so that you may be known among the nations, don't do that. And God doesn't. God doesn't. God spares them. Moses intercedes for them, and he spares them. We've got Hezekiah, one of the kings. God says he's going to kill him. Basically, he's going to die, but Hezekiah hears this message and repents and comes to him. And God says, no, I will not. You will not. Your life will not end today, but it will. I will add 15 years to your life. We've got the city, the great city of Nineveh, who God sends, you know, Jonah to, the most reluctant prophet ever. He sends him to Nineveh to tell them that his judgment is on them. And what do? They put on sackcloth and they mourn and repent and cry out to God. And God relents and doesn't destroy the city. See, what do you do first when things go wrong? What's the first thing you do when things go right? You know, in all situations, what do you do? See, I don't know if you believe that, God changes his mind. I don't know if you think that what these stories are necessarily getting at, whether God was always going to save the Israelites and he was just coaxing Moses into praying. But regardless, what we see is that when God's people pray, things happen. See, when God's people pray, when you pray, we see impossible things become possible. We see the barren becomes pregnant, the dead are raised to life, the lost are saved, and the captives, as we read in this story, are set free. So let's pick up the story again. So, the night before Herod was to bring him to trial, that's Peter. Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals." And Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And the angel told him. Peter followed him out to the prison, but he had no idea what the angel was doing, was really happening. He thought that he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards, then came to an iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel to and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen." So, here we have